God has given us two hands, one for receiving and the other for giving. Today at Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell teaches us how to steward the blessings of God.
When we steward effectively here in this world, that even if the Lord calls us home, we're prolonging and we're allowing the gospel message to continue to go out for the glory of God. And I'm thankful for a faithful grandfather. And many of us are parents and grandparents. And we want to be faithful to leave a legacy of stewardship.
Stewardship is an act of worship, an expression of faith, and a discipline for spiritual growth. In our series, The Gracious Steward, Pastor Chappell shows us how to steward the resources God has entrusted in our care. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Many Christians find it difficult to practice stewardship. But stewardship is more than giving money. It's about being accountable to God for the blessings He has given us. Today, we invite you to learn more about what it means to be a gracious steward. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called A Gracious Steward.
Well, how many of you have ever had an expectation, something you were looking forward to, and it just was not met? I mean, just something that you thought would be a particular way. Maybe it's your job and you thought your job would be a little different than it turned out to be. Or maybe it was a particular meal, something that you looked forward to eating, and when you ate it, it was very disappointing. Not long ago, my wife Terry and I, we tried some substitute ice cream. She loves ice cream. We thought we'd try some substitute ice cream. It was gross, I'm telling you right now. It was very disappointing. Sometimes you just have unmet expectations. And some of you ladies might say, well, my unmet expectation is sitting right next to me. But we don't have time for that this morning, all right? All of us have situations in life that we were expecting something. It didn't quite work out that particular way. Well, the disciples had an expectation. They'd been walking with Jesus these past few years. And many times they had this attitude, instead of what could they put into it, their attitude was, what can I get out of this? They were expecting that in the next few hours when Jesus left Jericho and when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they were expecting that Jesus would establish his kingdom and they would be right there with him and they would rule and reign. They'd be popular and powerful. And that's kind of what they wanted. In fact, look what it says in verse 11. It says, he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought their time had come. Now, Jesus had just been to Zacchaeus' house. Remember the tax collector? And he said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree because today I'm coming to your house. And now he'd ministered to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had believed. And Jesus is leaving Jericho and he's going to come around the hill up into Jerusalem. And the disciples' expectation was that he would rule and reign from that moment. Now, we know that Jesus Christ did not begin his millennial kingdom at that time. We know that Jesus Christ was crucified in Jerusalem, that he gave his life voluntarily on the cross. He shed his blood for the sins of the entire world. And so from the time that Jesus died until the time that he comes to establish that kingdom, we are now living in what is known as the church age or the age of grace. We're living in that in-between time when we are waiting for the nobleman, the Lord Jesus, in this parable, to come again. And that's why we need to pay attention to this message today, because we are going to stand before the Lord someday, just like the servants in this parable. J. Dwight Pentecost, one of the great theologians of yesteryear, wrote these words concerning this portion of Scripture. As Jesus and his disciples made their way to Jerusalem, the 12 were sure that Jesus was going there to receive a crown, to be acknowledged as a king, and to institute his millennial kingdom. Christ now told a parable in order to correct the misconception of the people who thought the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. You see, the disciples had a problem that we see in our society today. The disciples wanted instant gratification. They wanted that they would have power and prestige instantly and that Jesus would give it to them. And sometimes in our Christian life, we're that way as well. I mean, we want people to be saved, but we want them to kind of instantly be saved, and we don't want to have to do much in the process. Or we would like to be able somehow to steward resources and to have resources, but we really would prefer to win the lottery or something than to go through the process of waiting on the timing of the Lord. And so as we open the Bible this morning, we're going to learn about the role of a steward and what God wants from us on this earth as we steward for Him. And there's three lessons we're going to see very quickly. First of all, we're going to learn this morning that Jesus is showing us that the kingdom would not be immediately established, that He was going to go away and come back again. And we're waiting for Him even now to return. The second thing we're going to learn this morning is that the disciples were reminded that the nobleman who was going to leave would also return and hold them accountable for everything that He had given to them. And the Bible will teach us this morning that we also will be accountable to the Lord. And then the third truth in this passage is to show the role of a disciple in stewardship as he awaits the return of the Lord. How should I approach my job, my family, bank accounts, all the possessions? How should I deal with all of these things in light of the Lord's coming return? And so let's begin this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, the recognition of a steward. What is it that all of us as stewards should recognize today? Well, the Bible says in verse 12, "And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Now remember, the nobleman is referring to Jesus Christ, who was going to die and rise again and go away from them and then return. And he says that this nobleman will return. And in verse 13, it says, "He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Now, the responsibility of a steward, the recognition of a steward, is that we recognize that we must serve the master personally. We are to serve our master personally. He brought them unto himself personally. He gave each of them this pound. And I want you to notice the word here in verse 13. He called his 10 servants. This is the word doulos. It means that they were his bond servants. And all of us need to recognize today that we are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we are to be held accountable to him. Luke 17 and 10, the Bible says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." You see, we're not going above and beyond when we come to church or when we tithe or when we serve or when we help our neighbor. This is simply what servants do. They do the will of their Lord and their master. So we must recognize that as servants of the Lord, we serve him personally. We're not here fundamentally to serve the church. We're not here fundamentally to serve one another. But when we talk about stewardship, we're talking about serving our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we serve him personally. Secondly, his stewards, we steward our master's possessions. We are on this earth to steward our master's possessions. Now, did you know the Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning? In other words, every job that we have, every blessing that we have, the children that we've been given, all of these things are the gifts of the Lord. And that is illustrated in verse 13 when Jesus simply says these words, "He called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds." Now, for the sake of time, the pound here was about the equivalency of 3 months' wages. And so he's giving them a fairly large sum of money. He's giving them 3 months' wages, and he's telling them, "I want you to multiply this. I want you to do something good with this. I want you to steward my gift to you very well." The master delivered his own money to the servants. The servants were not the owners. The servants were simply the managers. So let's stop right there and remember that. We are not the owners, we are the managers. God is the owner. These children that come into our families, those are his children, and he's loaning them to us to take care of them for him. The job that you have received is a job from God. The funds that you have in your accounts are God's on loan to you to steward well. The car that you drive, the house in which you live, all of these things are given to us by the Lord. How many of you would just pause with me this morning and say, thank God for his goodness and his provision? God is so good. And the Bible says in Romans 14 and 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So even as these in the parable are going to give an account, all of us will give an account to God for how we manage his stuff. And how many of you realize that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? And we must recognize, even in this parable, the unprofitable steward, God said, look it, you blew it. You didn't do much with what I gave you. I'm going to give it to someone else to see what they will do with it. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. That's what Job said. Look at that in Job 1:21. And he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And I don't understand the sovereignty of God always as far as why he takes from some and gives to some, and why some are blessed and some are not. I think part of the principle has to do with what we do with it. We don't always understand why, but we do recognize the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And so oftentimes we hold on to our stuff like, this is my motorcycle, this is my gun, this is my house, this is my account, and we forget. Really, the Lord puts it into our hands and the Lord can take it away just as easily. Randy Alcorn wrote about this, and he said, if God was the owner, I was the manager. I needed to adopt a steward's mentality toward the assets that he had entrusted, not given to me. A steward manages the affairs, manages the assets for the owner's benefit. The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets and then carry out his will. So many wonderful illustrations of this have been shown to us in history. Back in the 1800s, when Charles Spurgeon was preaching in London, there was another man that was in a city called Bristol, England. His name was George Mueller. George Mueller was not a powerful preacher like Spurgeon, but George Mueller wanted to use his gifts and abilities for the Lord. And during this particular time of history in England, there was the bubonic plague, and many thousands of moms and dads had lost their lives, and because of that, there were tens of thousands of orphans all throughout England. During that time, two men rose up. They were not pastors. One man was named Robert Raikes, and he began what is known as the Sunday School. And because of his vision as a businessman, over 1 million children gathered every Sunday morning in England to learn how to read, and their primary text was the Bible. And many hundreds of thousands were saved because of Robert Raikes. And then there was this man, George Mueller. I remember a few years ago visiting his home and his office, and then walking by and seeing some of the orphanages that still stand and still to this day are serving the needs of children. And during his lifetime, his orphanages house over 20,000 boys and girls, people that were coming in and being fed and being housed, and tens of thousands of them accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And George Mueller simply taught the principle of stewardship to Christians all throughout London. He wrote letters to them, and he just encouraged them to remember, hey, whatever you have, remember it's not yours, it's God's. And if you could help the children, then help the children. And people began to live by the principle of stewardship, and orphanages were built, much as we're discussing in these weeks about the children's ministries here in the Antelope Valley. Mueller had a burden for the children. George Mueller wrote these words, "Let us walk as stewards and not act as owners, keeping for ourselves the means with which the Lord hath entrusted us. He has not blessed us that we may gratify our own carnal mind, but for the sake of using our money in his service and to his praise." And because of this, many needs were met to the glory of God. A friend of mine was at a McDonald's restaurant with his son a few years ago, and they went up to the counter, and he ordered a hamburger, and his son ordered a hamburger and French fries, and they had a Coke, and they were sitting down having some dad and son time. And after a while, the dad looked over at his son's side of the table there, and he reached across and he grabbed a French fry or two, and he's getting ready to have the French fry. And when he did that, his son put his hand away and said, "Those are my French fries." Well, the dad had paid for the French fries, bought ketchup for the French fries. The dad had brought the boy into the world and had blessed him with all his blessings. And yet the kid was saying, "Those are my French fries." And the dad had to explain to him, "Son, I paid for those French fries and I gave them into your possession. I'd like to have a French fry." And you know, sometimes that's how Baptists and Christians can be with God. We want to say, "God, these are my French fries. This is my account. This is my house. This is my life. I want to do with it what I want to do with it." But that's not the attitude of the steward. The steward says, "Lord, this is all yours, and I want to do with this as you want me to live and to lead." The recognition of the steward is that every possession possession we have belongs to God. We're simply managing the affairs that he has given to us. And that's what we learn in verse 13. He brought his servants together. He gave them those 10 pounds. And he said, recognize this is mine for you to invest. Now, notice secondly, though, this morning, not only the recognition of a steward. And if you don't get that point, you're not going to get anything we talk about today or next week. We've got to remember that he's the owner, we're the manager. But notice secondly, the responsibility of the steward. So here they receive from the Lord. Now, what is their responsibility? And I want you to see one of my favorite little sayings in the Bible. Verse 13 says, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now, we don't say that a lot, occupy till I come. So let's just kind of say it together here and kind of learn what it means. All right, occupy till I come. Ready, begin. Occupy till I come. That's kind of a strange thing. Jesus comes to them and says, here's some money. I want you to occupy till I come. All right, let's say it one more time. Occupy. Occupy till I come. Now, when we hear this phrase, occupy till I come, we're mindful of the responsibility of a steward, and that is to manage the business of another. And the word occupy means to carry on the business. He's simply telling these servants that while he is away, he wants them to settle down and do business. It could be defined as remaining in business. He says, I want you to remain. Now, sometimes some of us might get a little bit prone to wander, you know, and we want to go here and do this and that, and the grass is greener on the other side. Sometimes in a spiritual sense, we even think it's going to be great to go to heaven. But Jesus says to these, his servants, he says, now, I'm going to give you these resources. I want you to remain. I want you to put in some roots, and I want you to get some things done for eternity while you're still here. He says, I want you to, say it with me. Not bad. Let's try again. I want you to occupy till I come. One pastor said it this way, one evangelist, a true faith in Jesus Christ will not allow us to be idle. No, it is an active, lively, restless principle. It fills the heart so that it cannot be easy till it is doing something for Jesus Christ. And so we must remain. But then also we must resist. We must resist those forces that come against us. Now, I want to show you a verse I never really saw in this passage until a few weeks ago, and it really dawned on me the meaning of it. I want you to see it here with me. Verse 14, it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, we could jokingly apply that to a lot of different political situations, but let's get our thinking to a higher plane this morning, okay? Who is the man that they did not want ruling over them? Well, it was the nobleman. And in this parable, the nobleman represents whom? Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying, I want you to settle down and do business for me, but I want you to remember you're going to be in a kingdom that does not want me. They don't want me to rule. They don't want to hear what I have to say. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you this morning that if you intend to live for Jesus Christ, not everyone will be for you. And as we determine to build buildings, as we determine to send missionaries, as we determine to pass out gospel tracts, those that hate our Savior will not always say, oh, it's wonderful, the Baptist Church is coming again. Wonderful. There's going to be a special day at the Baptist Church. Not everybody stands for Jesus Christ. In fact, look what the Bible says in 1 John 3:13. It says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Let's read that verse together. Ready to begin. Marvel not, my brethren. So as we do business for the Lord, we must recognize not every community wants a new church. We must recognize that not everybody wants to hear more about Jesus Christ. But our responsibility as we manage the affairs of our Lord is that we remain and that we resist and that we are faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to manage the business of the owner. And then secondly, our responsibility is to report to the owner. So look at what it says in verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, I believe in accountability. I practice it in my life, and I believe that if you work somewhere and your boss gives you an assignment, that it should not be a problem to you if there's a staff meeting and he wants to know or she wants to know, how's that project going? I believe a spiritual Christian does not mind being accountable. A spiritual Christian is someone that gladly is accountable. And Jesus Christ teaches us that principle. And he brings these servants back in and he says to them, how has it been going with the blessing that I gave to you? He calls them in to give a report. He expected them to notice in verse 15 to tell how much they had gained. He wanted to know, the latter part of the verse there, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So there's three areas in which we will report to Jesus Christ. And did you know a big part of my job as a pastor is to get you ready for the day when you stand before Jesus Christ? Because it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. How many of you believe that one day you're going to stand before Jesus Christ? All right? So let's talk about how to get ready for that, right? Let's not wait till the day before a funeral. Let's think about it right now. What are the things that we're going to stand before the Lord respecting? So notice, first of all, we're going to stand before him for the management of this life. Our management of this life. The Bible says that he called them together, the ones that he'd given the money, that he might know how much they had gained. The king returned and he called them to account. Luke 16 and verse 2 says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a servant. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So Jesus will say, I've given you children, I've given you jobs, I've given you blessings. What have you done with those things? And how are those things being used to further the kingdom of God? Andrew Murray once wrote, the world asks, what does a man own? Jesus asks, how does he use it? You see, everyone here is blessed differently. God is not going to judge you by how much you have, but by how you use what he has given to you. Have you honored him in this life? And so we see our management will come into account. Secondly, our investments will come into account. You see, God expects us to work hard and to invest wisely. That's why Christians should stay away from gambling or speculative types of investments. That's why we should be prayerful over every major purchase, and we should really consider what honors the Lord in the way of stewardship. Daniel Webster once said, my greatest thought is my accountability to God. He knew that he would stand before the Lord for every decision that he made. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. And so God wants us to steward wisely the blessings that he has given to us. Lee Iacocca was the chairman at Chrysler, and many of these CEOs were very, very prosperous, of course. But Lee Iacocca wrote in his latter years these words, here I am in the twilight years of my life, still wondering what it's all about. I can tell you this, fame and fortune are for the birds. Well, I can tell you this, if you live for Jesus, and if you take the blessings of God and steward them well, and if you're faithful to take what God has given to you and honor him, and you honor him in your giving and serving of others, you will come to the end of your life not with regret, wondering about the meaning of life, but with gratitude that you have honored Jesus Christ as a faithful servant. And so we're going to stand before the Lord for our management. We're going to stand before the Lord for our investments. And then may I say this thirdly, we will stand before the Lord for our eternal investments. That's why we want to invest in the heavenly, why we are here on this earth. That's why we want to use our affluence for eternal influence. That's why we want to say, Lord, you've blessed me. How can I further your kingdom as your steward? In fact, notice what it says in your notes, Matthew 6, 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books, But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.